Hey, Lulu here. Whether we are romping through science, music, politics, technology, or feelings, we seek to leave you seeing the world anew. Radiolab adventures right on the edge of what we think we know, wherever you get podcasts.
It's The Takeaway. I'm Tanzina Vega. This weekend's tragic mass shootings in El Paso and Dayton were not isolated events. In the past week alone, six other mass shootings took place in communities across the United States. That data comes from the Gun Violence Archive, which defines a mass shooting as any incident involving gun violence that injures four or more people. But for survivors of gun violence, the mental and physical recovery process tends to last long after the media coverage has moved on. It's an issue that was echoed by emergency room doctors in Dayton this weekend.
As far as the aftermath, there's certainly going to be some emotional issues afterward as we find out more about who these individuals were in their place and roots in our community. It's going to become harder. I think we rely on each other first and foremost. I think peer support is what is most called for here.
I have two guests with me now who have worked closely with survivors of gun violence. And a note to listeners that we're going to be talking frankly about some pretty graphic situations. Dr. Megan Ranney is an emergency physician, and she's also the chief research officer for AFFIRM Research, the American Foundation for Firearm Injury Reduction in Medicine. Welcome back to The Takeaway, Dr. Ranney.
Thank you. Glad to be here.
Also with us is Dr. Carol North, a professor of psychiatry at the University of Texas Southwestern Medical Center. Thanks for being with us, Dr. North.
Thank you.
Dr. Ranney, let's start with you. When someone comes into the ER with a gunshot wound, what is the immediate response that they get from personnel?
Well, listen, we train for responding to gunshot wounds. It's part of, honestly, the bread and butter of emergency medicine. We often, but not always, know that someone's going to come in beforehand, and so we very quickly gather a team of emergency physicians, trauma surgeons, respiratory therapists, social workers, nurses, and we go through a protocol to do our best to save that person's life. It's almost a checklist of A, B, C, and we stop at each point of it to make sure that we're doing the next thing that's needed to give that person the best possible chance of surviving.
Now, you said this is a part of the practicalities of learning the basics of emergency room medicine. But in many of these cases, when we're talking about mass shootings in particular, there are often multiple victims coming in at the same time. How does that change the response, if at all?
Yeah, sadly, that is becoming an increasingly common reality in emergency departments across the country. For many of our emergency departments, we have backup, but it becomes challenging if you're in a smaller hospital, a smaller setting. It's a topic of a lot of discussion among emergency physicians and trauma surgeons. How do we appropriately triage and take care of patients in these mass casualty settings? And then, as I know we're talking about today, how do we deal with the aftermath?
Let's talk a little bit about the physical effects of a gunshot wound for those of us who have not experienced this. Dr. Ranney, what are generally the physical effects of a gunshot wound on the body?
So it really depends on what you are shot with, how often you're shot, and where those bullets land in your body. In my clinical practice, I've seen everything from a graze wound on the hip from a hunter who accidentally discharged his weapon to gunshots to the head from people who commit suicide, to multiple gunshots to the chest and belly that lacerate the liver, the lungs, the heart. It can be absolutely physically devastating. You can also have very minor injuries if you're lucky. But the mental and emotional wounds are the things that are tougher to see.
Let's turn to Dr. North to talk a little bit about that. Dr. North, you have dealt with and spoken to survivors of mass shootings. What do those conversations tend to focus on outside of the physical impacts of this? What are the mental long-term impacts? And tell us what those conversations tend to focus on.
Well, when we do our research studies and talk to people, we're interested in understanding what kind of experiences they had in the event and afterward, and what kinds of psychiatric problems they might develop. The most common psychiatric disorders that develop are post-traumatic stress disorder, or PTSD, and new episodes of major depressive disorder.
Tell us a little bit about those conditions specifically. How do they manifest in victims of mass shootings?
Post-traumatic stress disorder is a disorder with different types of symptoms, including intrusive memories that may be manifest as like flashbacks or nightmares of the event, and hyperarousal symptoms where you're jumpy and have trouble concentrating and too wired up to sleep, and then avoidance and numbing symptoms for those people who go emotionally numb and can't deal with facing reminders of the event. Major depressive disorder involves a lack of interest in pleasure, low mood, maybe crying, trouble sleeping, loss of interest in eating or pleasurable activities.
And Dr. North, how soon after an event like a mass shooting do those symptoms begin to manifest?
The symptoms can begin very quickly, within hours to days on average. And most of the people who develop these symptoms will recover from them fairly quickly, within days to a month. But people who continue to have symptoms or accumulate more symptoms over a period of a month or more might then have a diagnosable disorder.
Dr. Ranney, going back for a minute to the physical recovery process here, when we see, a lot of us aren't able to see in what's happening behind the emergency room doors here. For some, and a lot of the time, the cameras and the reporters move on after an event like this. But for many of these victims, the process is just beginning, isn't it?
Absolutely. Again, it really depends on how you're shot. You know, some people we send home from the ER if, again, they just had a graze wound or it's a minor flesh wound. But others spend weeks or months in the hospital and then go to rehabs and may never have a normal life again. You know, in my clinical practice in the emergency department, we frequently take care of people who come in for complications of gunshot wounds that they experienced months or years or even decades earlier.
And Dr. Reddy, I'm curious, when we hear medical personnel talking about these incidents, often in press conferences that are put together moments, if not hours, after the event, the doctors themselves often, even though they're prepared for this, the gunshots, and they're prepared, and this is, as you said, their bread and butter of what they do in the emergency room, what is the element, what is the mental toll that this can take on medical personnel who are handling this, especially if they're getting large amounts of patients at once?
Yeah, that's a great question. It is tremendous. I'll tell you, in my role as chief research officer of a firm, one of the things that has most stuck with me is the stories that I've heard from my colleagues across the country. I think knowing that it's okay to talk about this and that I'm a safe space, for lack of a better word, I've heard a lot of stories. Some of the most affecting stories are single gunshot wounds, you know, a pregnant woman who's shot by her partner or a young man who shoots himself. But these mass casualties, they just stick with people. My email inbox right now is full of folks who've lived through this and get re-traumatized when they see that their colleagues have to go through this again. You know, but because of HIPAA and our culture, it's not something that we talk about a lot. We're expected to kind of put it aside, and actually part of our training, part of that protocol is meant to stop us from having kind of an emotional reaction to the patient and the injury in the moment. We're so focused on saving their life, we don't have time to have feelings, right? They could distract us from our life-saving work. And there's not necessarily time built in to mourn afterwards. You can take care of a horrific gunshot wound, and then you have to walk out and go see a patient who has cold symptoms or chest pain in the next room, and you can't let it show. It's an area that we're looking a lot at and trying to create support for.
Dr. North, I want to ask you here, is that where the psychiatric and psychological services can come in to fill the void, to provide that type of empathy and understanding to victims of gun violence and survivors of mass shootings?
In the very short term, crisis counseling can be quite helpful, and there are some procedures known as psychological first aid that can comfort people and help them through the early periods, and later as symptoms turn into psychiatric disorders, standard treatment for the psychiatric disorders can be very, very helpful.
And we've seen research that indicates that memorials and vigils that we often see communities pull together are actually helpful for survivors. Can you expand a little bit on why that might be?
Well, one of the most helpful things for survivors is to be able to be with other people who have experienced what they have experienced, to share what they've been through together. Also, bringing together your loved ones and sharing with them or spending time with them, feeling safe with them, can be very helpful. But not everybody can talk about it or face it right away. Sometimes it takes time. But for people who can, sharing and talking things through and processing things can really help get them through it.
And Dr. North, some of your research has also looked at the positive effects that can happen further down the line for survivors of mass shootings. How is that possible? Can you explain that?
Well, right away, there really isn't too much positive, although you can be struck by the outpouring of altruism and love from people in the community. But as time goes on, people can start to find resilience and experience resilience and find strengths perhaps that they didn't know they had. And people may experience love from other people that they weren't aware of otherwise. There are many positive things that can come about, and many of these things are things that communities can do to bring about positive things to help the whole community recover.
And Dr. Ranney, in terms of the coverage of gun violence here more broadly, and specifically when it comes to mass shootings, are there areas that you see that the media can improve, particularly when it comes to how we are reporting on casualties, names of victims, or anything that happens behind the ER doors?
Absolutely. So don't give notoriety to the shooter is first and foremost. Provide resources to help people cope with a trauma, both folks who are secondarily traumatized by hearing about this and for the communities themselves. And also don't forget that there are 100 deaths and 200 injuries that happen every day across this country. The mass shootings are really the tip of the iceberg, and we're committed to finding solutions for all of it. I think our nation right now needs hope, and you and the media can help provide that.
Dr. Megan Ranney is an emergency room physician and the chief research officer at Affirm, and Dr. Carol North is a professor of psychiatry at the University of Texas Southwestern Medical Center. Appreciate you both for speaking with me.
Thank you, and I'm pleased to be with you today.
Thank you. It was my pleasure.